Hello, friends. Welcome to week 26 of the Pokeballs podcast. You're here with me, as always, Lee, also known as Osiris, and my good friend, Scott, S9 Vibe. We're both a bit sick this week, so it's going to be...
Just a little bit.
We're both... Actually, we haven't seen each other, so we haven't caught it off each other physically, but we seem like we've got the same thing. It must be a thing going around at the minute, but... I'm not well. Scott's not well. We're going to battle through, though. And as always, we are here delivering you some juicy Pokemon podcasting fun for another hour this week. And we appreciate everyone for coming by and hanging out with us while we go over everything, catching up everything from the last week. How you been, mate? Aside from not very well.
Great. That was well put. You know, apart from being well, I'm not too bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just on the Pokemon grind, trying to make sure I want to get a better result. Watching a lot of anime as well. I'm doing Bleach at the moment, so.
Oh, nice! Great anime.
Yeah, great anime. Really, really good.
I might do that this afternoon because I think I've been struggling through getting content that I wanted to do out on the channel, and I'm in a place now where I'm like, okay, I think I'm good. I'm good for a little while and I can actually start concentrating on Regulation E because, like you say, we've got Lille coming up not too long and it deserves some time put into it. And you've just given me the best idea. I think I'm going to continue watching One Piece this afternoon and do some team building and practicing, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a good afternoon to me.
And for those of you are listening that aren't actually watching on YouTube, Scott had the tendency to have a little blanket with him most streams, and he's got it over him today, and I feel very naked without a blanket, and I feel like I'm in that position now where I want something around me. But yeah, that's what I'm gonna do, mate, I think this afternoon, and then hopefully feel better by next week.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be okay. Most colds normally you tend to get a really bad day and then the rest is just like you go through the motions of symptoms. Like in the moment it's kind of like the snotty nose, and that normally means that I'm towards the end of it for me. So I'm sure you'll be back by the end of the week. You'll be feeling a lot better. Likewise, I hope I'll do the same.
Yeah, it didn't feel like terrible yesterday, but it all feels like it's gone on to my chest today, which is not making me feel like that great. But hopefully, like you say, it's not like the end of the world. Only a couple of days. Just take some rest, I think, and then we'll be good. But
battle through it and you'll be okay.
Yeah. But aside from that, there's been a few things going on in the Pokemon universe. We're still, you know, everyone, I'm probably guessing by now, coming to the end of everything you can pretty much do in the Teal Mask. There's a lot of shinies you can go out and hunt, of course, and little bits that you can do to complete it. And of course, there is the issue with a lot of players not able to actually finish all of the things in the Teal Mask, like the Ogre Clan. Side quests that you can do where, you know, the trainer data issues that are there, that will be getting patched hopefully early October. We know that patch is on the way, but we're kind of coming to the tail end of the Teal Mask. Like you said, you know, off air we were talking about it, saying, you know, really, like, in hindsight looking back at the Teal Mask, there isn't really that much content in the games. I enjoyed it, really enjoyed the story, but there isn't a massive amount to do in those games, really, is there?
No, I think that's, you know, we dunked on IGN for you know, giving us a bad review in the last episode, but you know, there really silly isn't, you know, it is what it is. But we kind of knew going into this that one DLC would have more stuff than the other, very similar to Crown Tundra and the other one that I can't remember the name of, but
I Love Armor.
Yeah. So we've, you know, as we said for a while, we think the Indigo Disc will be the one that has all of the Gucci content, particularly because it brings back a lot of favourites, including the starter Pokemon, and it looks like, you know, there's a big area to sort of shiny hunt, so that'll be loads of fun, along with loads of other interesting bits and bobs. I think because the Indigo Disc as well, you know, technically is the end of the game. There's a lot of potential room for content there. You know, we might get a teaser for a third DLC that we've discussed in the past. You know, there's this Peach Pokemon that keeps all these leakers keep discussing, you know, that's meant to be like the leader of like the Loyal Three, and you know, how does this all tie back to Kitakami and you know Area Zero? You know, yeah. It'll be interesting. You know, Indigo Disc could be huge. You know, does it add, you know, an additional storyline to the mainline game as well as this part in the Blueberry Academy? You know, does it set up a third DLC or update that we're going to get for free at the end of it? You know, we don't know. So I think because of that reason...
Third DLC, I think that's a really good point you make. But we've had, obviously, the news this week that they're releasing the physical copy of the secrets, the hidden treasures of Area Zero, the part one and part two DLCs. There's a physical copy you can buy with Scarlet or Violet. So that's going to be on sale in Japan on the 3rd of November, which might give us an indicator with when the part two DLC might be released. I don't think it's going to be the 3rd of November. I think it'll be, you know, maybe 4 weeks after that. It'll give people, because I think what you've got to think of, you've got, if you're buying that DLC pack, right, you've got to access part two of the DLC. You need to have finished the game completely. So the Pokemon in mind are going to be thinking, they're not going to be like saying, DLC expansion pack with this game physical copy is released on the 3rd of November and it's available on the 3rd of November, right? They're going to probably give players enough time to finish the games and what we say in like 4 weeks, a month, and then they release it in early December.
I think December makes a lot of sense. Because, yeah, it just makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it could be end of November, but...
Could be, yeah. But I think the fact that, like... You know, you probably have to play through the Teal Mask as well before you play the Indigo Disc, right? Which the Teal Mask you can do at any point through your playthrough of the base games, right? But we know for a fact from the data mine information, you've got to finish the entire game in Area Zero before you can access that part two. So you're going to have to give players enough time if they are buying this dual pack with the DLCs included, physical copy included in it. Enough time to finish the base games before they're able to go in and access that DLC pack. Not necessarily important, but I think it's something to think about, of course.
I mean, you'd think that we would get an official release date soon.
Yeah, we've got to. I think like, if you don't to, get one give by... It,
give us one in October. We have to get one in October.
Yeah, I think we have to get one in October. Like, honestly, thinking like we've got to the end of September without one, I don't think it's going to be November now, because I think we would have had to have had that in September, right? For them to have the lead time to do the promotion, like more promotion for it. Because
I've been seeing a lot of adverts on TV, you know?
Yeah.
DLC. So
we haven't had like that core kind of specific trailer. You know, they've all been kind of merged into one, but a lot of it was concentrating on the Teal Mask sort of stuff. We haven't had that like Sinistra like sort of trailer or anything like that for the Indigo Disc yet to kind of hype those up to remind people that there is another DLC coming. And I think we would have probably had to have had that by now if it was going to be at least an early November release, you know, like that 13th to 17th period where they would normally release, you know, main series title around times. I feel like, yeah, we kind of missed the bolt with that. And especially if we're getting to like mid-October, I can't see them announcing the release date and then it being like 2 or 3 weeks later after that. I feel like it would be, you know, a good amount of time. But who knows, mate, what they're thinking.
There's I think you're right. yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Again, patience is a virtue. Like I said, I think more content, more fun will definitely be coming sort of our way. And we just have to wait and see how long it will take.
We've also said as well, like a bunch of times on the podcast throughout the, you know, the last few months, they're going to have to be a way for us to get like the other legendaries, the box art legendaries in the Indigo Disc, and how we get them, we don't know yet. But that will be a big part of the games, right? How we get like Zacian, Groudon, Kyogre, Rayquaza, all of those Pokemon that we know will be in these games. They're going to have to be accessible somehow. So that's that. Again, I don't think that's going to be from the Terrarium. I would imagine it's probably from Area Zero, Greater. So Yeah, I don't know. The other thing I was going to say about like the DLC part 3, I think this kind of quashes maybe any possibility of another DLC coming out, because they're releasing a physical copy now with the DLC pack included into it. It almost feels like they wouldn't do that if there was going to be a third part, because I feel like they're not going to release another physical copy with these DLCs and another one on top of it. I feel like they would have, it was a third DLC, waited for the physical copy to come out with all three on it. Do you know what I mean?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I feel like that's going to be it now with the Indigo disc. Teal Mask is going to be it for...
Well, in which case, it has to be quite big then. There has to be quite a big DLC. Yeah.
So. I think like what you said initially, you know, where it has to be a good size. We've talked about the things that potentially have to be included with it. We know what's included with it up to now with the trailers that we've seen. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really big DLC. We've still got those areas on the map as well that are like, you know, like blocked out. We've got the blocked out area in the crater of Area Zero, which we kind of assume that that is going to be one of the areas that's unlocked. But that area to the northeast of Paldea, that's blocked out as well. Like, if this is the last DLC, is that getting unlocked, or is that just going to stay like that? And that was just content that they were planning to add, but never actually got around to doing, you know? You get that sometimes with games.
Yeah. We'll see. So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Kind of interesting, though. But the fact is that we're going to Unova as well, you know, in the Blueberry Academy. Does that pave the way then for the next main series title, which is going to be a black and white sequel or remake or whatever it's going to be before, and then having like that for that maybe is going to be the next thing that we get next November. We get a DLC for that, and then that leads us into maybe a year after that to getting like
Gen 10. I still think it would be absolute madness if it ends on like a teaser for a Gen 5 remake. I think it'd be hard to do, because it needs to end really in Area Zero, right? Because, you know, that's all the games are all based around. But
yeah,
I think there's definitely going to be more hints towards the you know, it has to be at this point. It's got to be some sort of Gen 5 adjacent game at this point.
I think it could be quite easy to like tease it though, because I think at the end of the game, you know, they just need to have a kind of cutaway scene.
Yeah,
to the Blueberry Academy or somewhere in Unova, whether you've whatever you've done
like
at
a
the end of the game. Yeah, like you could just have like the after effects of what's happened in Area Zero, like having some implication happen in Unova, and it just cut to that and really tease something that's happening in Unova. Make it obvious that it's Unova, like a landmark, you know, Black City, White Forest, or whatever, and something happening there. And then have a to be continued.
That'd be
that
so
would be
cool,
very
man.
Cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really hype. You know, I mean, the first time they sort of did something like that, you know.
Yeah. It's a continuation. And that would be, it would make the whole, like, Gen 9 series be very, very cohesive. And it would be nice if they did something like that, which would almost guarantee on Pokemon Day next February, or the coming February, should I say, in 2024, would be the juicy info for that, which would make it even more hype. So we'll see how it plays out, but we kind of have an idea of what might be coming. We just need the exact details of all of that.
Yeah, I think
we've
covered pretty much everything that needs to be said about that. Most people have completed it. Like I said, there's not much really to say. We did have the on a bit of a tangent. We did have the 151 set come out last week officially. Personally, you know, I was thinking about this, and I know we kind of discussed it. I mean, I'm not really that hyped for this set. It's been overhyped to hell because it's you know, it's based around base set, right? You know, anything to do with base set. There's loads of hype around. You know, we spoke about the classic TCG battle thing that they've done, which is all sold out and is already selling like fucking for insane money on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything nostalgia Pokemon know is like printing double money. You know, the cards in this set are really cool. Don't get me wrong, there's some absolutely beautiful artwork. They've started to do these really sort of, You know, these cool sort of like just full art cards that aren't, you can't really see it there you go, that aren't necessarily, you know, the most expensive cards to buy, which is love, which is like amazing. Obviously some of them are, but you know, you're getting cool artwork now that isn't super expensive. So
the Erica artwork, one of my favorite gym leaders.
Yeah, I think she's
yeah, I think so, yeah. Erica's invitation, very nice cards.
But there would definitely be some cards that I want to pick up. I think this has been a chase card for a lot of people. I mean, it's a really nice card, but
it's, yeah, it is nice with the birds on.
I'm not going out of my way to start chasing the set, which,
no,
you know, when it first dropped and the Japanese set come out, people are excuse me, like, people were hyping it up, and you know, rightly so. I mean, we thought it was going to be, I mean, it is really, it's a really big set, but realistically, it's not one that I'm desperately trying to get stuff for. When I go to Comic-Con at the end of October, I might see if I can pick something up if it's reasonably priced. If it's not, I'm not going to go out of my way and pay over the odds for it, because, you know,
nah.
I don't think it is.
I've heard the pull rates as well are really, like they can be amazing or they can be terrible. Like, you know, like I've seen a bunch of people like opening, cracking ETBs and getting like one hit from an ETB, which is like, feels bad, man. Especially from these like special sets as well. Where you feel like you should be getting, you know, what was the last special set? Crown Zenith. It was a really great set. You're getting like multiple hits per ETB. And Celebrations before that, again, really good hits like per ETB. And for this one to kind of come out and be like almost more like a regular set ETB, where you're like expecting, I might not get the best hits here. Whereas other people are like getting ETBs and getting like multiple hits, like crazy amount of hits, like more than usual. So I don't really know what's going on with this set or how it's been printed. And then there was that weird, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter as well, there was a weird, I don't know if it was real or not. Can you remember the Pokemon Go set that they did? And some of the cards had a peel back and there was a Ditto underneath.
Yeah.
Kind of hidden. There was a guy with a Mew EX. And it was like literally just peeled off, but nothing underneath, just the holo.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I have seen it with a few cards. People getting that. So I don't know if they're misprints or what, which seems odd for them, but
yeah, it just doesn't feel great. Doesn't look great either, you know. But yeah, who knows what's going on? But yeah, I'm not feeling the hype like you for this set, mate. It's just not really captivated me like some previous sets have. I really don't know why I'm just not feeling it at the minute. I talked last week about, you know, it's a great time to pick up older sets, and even like even going further back, like vintage cards and stuff like that. It's a really good time because the prices on them are like really bottoming out at the minute, and I've got more interest in that sort of stuff at the minute than I have in anything new. I'm just not feeling like the alt art stuff is great, but I just feel like they're doing so much of it now. It's just kind of taking like,
bless me,
bless you. It's just taking the edge off it a little bit. It's like they're not as, they don't feel as special as they once did, because it's like every set now is just full of alt art cards, and that just, it feels like almost that's the standard. And because they're saturating it so much, it just feels like, oh,
like,
yeah,
I said,
they're doing another alt art.
Like, yeah, the alt arts aren't worth like they used to be. Alt arts used to be the rare cards, but now you can get them, which is great for collectors, but like I said, it's taken away the rarity of them.
I just feel like they've taken it a step too far. They're like properly milking it now, whereas they could have just kept them really exclusive and really small numbers, but they've kind of opted for, okay, this is what people want. And I get that people love alt arts, and I love them, right? But I'm just like, the kind of novelty of them's completely worn off for me. And I think with these sets, I think Crown Zenith was the last straw for me, where I was just like, I had fun opening it and there's some nice arts in there, but I was just like, I've got no pull like I had with previous sets, like where I'm like, I really want that chase card. I really want this chase card, or this one art card, or this one full art in this set is like, this is, I've just got to draw to it because it's like really exclusive, really hard to get. There's loads of things about it. I love it. Whereas now it's just like, kind of run of the mill. I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah, just novelties wore off with it. Hopefully they do something to bring it back, but we'll see.
No, you're right. I'm sure they'll find a way to keep us buying their products, because if it's one thing I know Pokemon does well is stealing our money.
So, oh, yeah. Well, mate, since you told me about it last week, I have not been able to get those Santa Cruz skateboards out of my head. And I'm so sad I missed those.
So am I.
I've seen so many people on shorts and things.
You can go
like,
and buy one. But, yeah. You know, if you want to pay extortion money for one.
Yeah, I'm not all about supporting the scalper market.
Yeah, fair play.
I'll just beat myself up for not paying enough attention at the time. Pick one up. The gold ones, though, man, they are like absolute fire. I were like, I'm so like.
The thing is, you could have bought one, right? And even if you didn't get the gold one,
you would have still got a banger.
Banger, and also if you wanted to sell it, it's worth more than what you pay for it. Opened.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I think they would have been hard to get hold of, even if you sat there as soon as they dropped.
Probably. You might have been able to get one now. Like,
no, I think it's limited to one per address, but.
Oh, that's all right then. How come people... Oh, well, it doesn't matter how. I've seen people on like eBay with multiple that are selling them. I have looked, but I'm like, I'm not willing to pay the 300 quid for one.
They are really sick. More. It's an example of like, nice. Pokemon does weird collabs sometimes, and I think that it's one of the coolest collabs that they've done in a while.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, very cool.
Santa Cruz, I've got some of their stuff. I really like their Santa Cruz. I really like their clothes. I know you like them as well, so... No, it was, I'm gutted as well. It's one of those things I saw on Twitter, but kind of, like, ignored, because I was like, it'll be fine, you know, I can get this at some point, maybe, I don't know. And then, you know, lo and behold, you can't get hold of any of it now, unless you want to pay an insane amount of money, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of done with it, to be honest, but...
Mm. From one collab to another, we've got the Van... Off we'll go Van Gogh. Exhibition
transition than the one I had.
Oh really? Well, that's kicking off today, actually, isn't it? The 28th of September.
I'm assuming you can get this from the Van Gogh Museum as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got. I don't think Amsterdam. In the UK. I think it's Amsterdam. Yeah.
Ah, fair play.
Yeah, so it's exclusively in Amsterdam, the exhibition, and they're gonna have like unique, like exclusive merch there. Where you can get like teas, like plushies of these pieces of art and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. I think it's awesome. I'd love to go over, but I don't think I'm going to be making a special trip just to go over to Amsterdam to see it, unfortunately. A shame it's not lining up with like Utrecht.
Yeah.
You know.
I want to make more sense.
But it's very cool, and I think as a promotion as well to kind of celebrate it, they're doing a thing on the PokemonCenter.com. I don't think it's started yet, but if you buy anything, you're going to get this promo card kind of sent out to you, which is very cool. I don't think you're going to be able to get the other promos, because I'm presuming they're going to do the other promos of the other bits of art, but I think you have to physically go to Amsterdam to get them, to get the complete set. But I could be wrong about that, but that would make a lot of sense. I think people are... hyping them up. I said this to you before, you know, we started recording. I think people are hyping these up more because of the, you know, the Scream promos that we had previously in Japan. Which, you know,
I mean, it's a really cool artwork, but
I love the Smeagol.
Smeagol's cool.
Great. Yeah.
Makes a lot of
the
sense.
The Snorlax one as well. It's nice. I don't know if it's in that collection as well. I think it was like Snorlax isn't there.
Sadness. Yeah. Van Gogh Pikachu plushie.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this is a meme because the comments were talking about it, but I saw this on Reddit, so take it lightly. But the cards have been listed on eBay already.
Oh god.
And these were some of the prices, but everyone in the comments was like, there's no way, this is just satire at this point. But like this guy saying, I know what I have. All the comments were basically saying they're definitely just taking the piss.
100%. That is hilarious.
Just for shits and giggles, but yeah.
That's funny.
I'm sure they'll be a bit like, I'm sure you'll be able to get a hold of them. You know,
I think the promos are going to be easy to get, mate. I saw a lot of people like on Reddit like panicking earlier in the week before it got announced that there'll be a distribution from just online sales on the Pokemon Center. People thinking that you would have to go
make them a lot rarer if you had to go over there.
Yeah, well, there was people there that were like, you know, in the comments that were like, I've booked my flight and I've booked a slot at the Ark exhibition to make sure that I'm there when this is running next week. Because I don't think people realized it was going to be running for such a long time, because it's running from like end of September
to January,
into the beginning of January. Yeah, so got a long time to kind of plan out a trip if you want to go and see it. But I think there was a lot of panic around, you know, like hardcore collectors making sure that they were in the right place to pick up what they can, and I'm sure they'll get like extra exclusive stuff by actually going. So I'll not be, and you'll actually get to see, you know, the exhibition as well, which is going to be good if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah,
will be available as a free gift from any item from the... If basically if you purchase any of the collab stuff from the Pokemon Center websites, you'll be able to get them.
Yeah,
I don't know if that includes the UK site. I hope it does.
It will do, yeah.
Because it only mentioned sure it will, US. It had
it was like a promo thing about it on the UK Pokemon Center yesterday about it, but it just had coming soon. So, assuming, I don't know if it's live yet. Yeah. Go down there. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play. So,
not live yet, but it will be soon. Yeah. So there's that. Other news as well. Transitioning again, 7-star raids are back, mate.
There's, 7-star raids are indeed back.
You know, Hisuian Decidueye is coming to Scarlet and Violet next Thursday evening, the 6th of October. So that's kind of exciting. So grass terror typing, I think probably one of the worst defensive typings, especially with Hisuian Decidueye, which has a terrible move pool anyway. I think it's going to be a nice, refreshing, easy change to the Mewtwo that we had previously. So that's it. It's a good sign. We're probably going to get all the Hisuian starters on the back of this. One, so Hisuian Typhlosion, Hisuian Samurott, and then maybe the Sinnoh starters, you know, Empoleon, Infernape, and Torterra. I'm kind of hoping we do. I feel like because we got that gift egg in the teal mask for a Sinnoh starter, it's kind of like a little teaser to say, yeah, these might be coming as 7-star raids, but I can't see them deviating at the moment away from starter Pokemon. I feel like it's going to be completely starter Pokemon is what they're going to...
What would be cool and would make a lot of sense, you know, again, talking about all this lead up to a potential Gen 5 game or whatever it ends up being.
Unova starters.
Well, yeah, anything Unova related would be cool to do in the lead up to the Black and White. You know, it makes a lot of sense to the hype.
Well, you could they've started the Unova starter set, haven't they? Because we've had
Samurott.
Yeah, we've had Oshawott.
So I mean, you could do. There's loads of Pokemon. You could do the legendaries if you wanted to. You know,
That might be a way that they're going to do it. Legendaries, you know, they might be like, well, we're just going to drip feed them over the next year or so. I don't know.
I think they would have time.
They'd have to do one like every week, wouldn't they? Really, with the amount of legendary. Oh, I mean, unless they're just saying not every legendary is going to be in these games. You know?
Yeah, maybe. But again, it does feel like a bit of a paywall. It's a bit of annoying because I don't have any Pokemon. The only legendaries I have are from older games. Like, I don't have any of the genies because I never got them in Black and White, so I don't physically have them. I never bought the DLC for Sword and Shield, so there's no way of me to get it. So I still think it would be unfair for them to not add them in, personally. I think they will, because I just... Yeah,
you had to borrow an Urshifu off me, didn't you?
I'm going to have to borrow some more ones off you, actually. I need to speak to you about that after this, but...
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of Pokemon, which is really frustrating, but...
At least you got Ogapon there now.
I've got the Ogapon. Yeah, I've got myself an Ogapon, but you could catch that for the game, so... I'm hoping they add a way to do it in the DLC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you didn't get the... Yeah, because you needed the DLC to get them in Sword and Shield, of course. Completely... Yeah, paywall does.
It's a bit scummy, but you know, they've done it in every second iteration of the games. I think back to Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Moon, they've had them in the second iteration, so it makes sense for it to be in the DLC, especially if it was in the Scarlet and Violet DLC as well. So we'll get that hopefully, and then I won't have to worry too much about it. Because I did find out recently that you can use Pokemon Home. I thought it was free. It wasn't free, sorry. But it is for like the first 30 Pokemon. So as long as it's under 30 Pokemon, you can keep in there for free. So
I'll
use it now, because I was like, I'm not paying for. I know it's not a lot of money. I know it's pretty much the money, I guess, in all fairness to them, probably just covers the cost of running the servers, because it is a tiny amount. But I still didn't really want to pay for it, so it's nice to know that you can do that as well. So
they definitely make a lot of money off Pokemon Home, mate. The amount of people that have Pokemon Home, even though it's a small amount of money, right? Exponentially, like, you know, you got to think, like, what percentage of people who buy the games have Pokemon Home as well?
I don't know. I actually don't know. But let us know in the comments.
It'd be interesting to find out.
In the comments if you pay for Pokemon Home or whether you just use the free version, because I've never paid for it. As soon as I found out you had to pay for it, even though it was like an insanely small amount of money, I was like, I'm not interested. And I've never really had, in all fairness, like the urge to be like, I want to transfer this over. Because again, in most games, you've been able to get them at some point. So,
yeah. That's true. I would imagine we'll probably be able to get them. But now you have the DLC, you'll have access to them. So that'll be good.
Yeah. So
I'd imagine they're going to have to, like, you know, make the Hisuian Pokemon available, like all the Hisuian Pokemon available in the Indigo Disc, as well as all the legendaries. So
unless they're going to do that first, so they'll just do the Hisuian Pokemon for a while, so maybe they'll do all of them. That would make a lot of sense. So we've got that
Clefairy Mass Outbreak, which is actually, as of recording this, we're recording this on Thursday 28th, Clefairy Mass Outbreak event happening in Scarlet and Violet and in the Teal Mask, I believe. So I'll be both Kitakami and Paldea will be getting Mass Outbreaks of Clefairy, which is, I don't know how long it's running for, but they're going to have a new mark available, potentially a new mark. They're going to have the chance to get a new mark. So,
yeah, it's a shame that our little theory about the Clefairies didn't.
Yeah,
it still seems weird. It still seems a really weird shadow drop.
Yeah,
you know, I really hope there is some kind of tie-in. It's bizarre. Like, why do it? Just unless they did it to throw off the scent. Suckers like us. Like, I don't know. I just can't. I can't wrap my head around it.
It is strange because it's just. It just feels like so random. Of like a mass outbreak, unless they're like, okay, well, this is a safe one for us to do because they're gonna. My other thinking was, you know, to make other Pokemon more accessible in the games, they don't necessarily need to rely on raid events now to make these Pokemon accessible. They can have special mass outbreak events in the future for maybe they're gonna do Hisuian Bravery, or they're gonna do Weirdeer as an outbreak randomly appearing in Kitakami or Paldea going forward, to make these Pokemon that aren't accessible in the Indigo Disc as well actually in the game, so you can get them. That might be a way for them to do them. And then, you know, by creating these extra little marks on them, or, you know, mass outbreaks have a way of shiny hunting easier as well, so it's a way for them to do this without having to increase the shiny odds in the game. So it's a lot easier. They just need to dump a mass outbreak event, you know, and then run a 7-star terror raid alongside it. And then you've got like two really good ways of putting Pokemon into the games that weren't actually in the base games to start with, but now are, magically.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll just have to see where they go with it, to be honest with you.
But it'd be funny though if they like completely cocked up 1 week, right? And they had a legendary 7-star raid, like somewhere down the line, right? They were like, okay, we're gonna do a 7-star raid for the box art legendary, like Koraidon and Maraidon, and we're gonna do it in the opposite games, right? So in Scarlet, you're gonna get Maraidon, in Violet, you're gonna get Koraidon, right? Or vice versa, whichever way around it is, right? Which isn't your version exclusive. And they're going to have an increased shiny chance, right? And at the same time, they're doing a mass outbreak for, let's just say, Poliwag, right? randomly, right? And then they cocked it up. So the seven-star raid was Poliwag, right? And the outbreak was Mariathon and Coriodon. Can you imagine? They just got there was just a line of code that they got wrong and someone switched it. And then you'd have all of these people like, I'm not ever updating this ever again because I can shiny hunt Coriodon, Mariathon super easy in mass outbreaks now. I could see something like that happening. Like, it's well, yeah, not out of like, the realms of possibility, is it?
Wasn't that why, like, we were speculating, or I don't know whether it happened, that was one of the problems with the chestnut raid or the iron treads and stuff. Someone was saying that it could have, like... No, we were discussing how it was probably just... They probably got, like, a template for it in-game where they just copy and paste stuff and then forget to change the name properly or... No, what was it? Was it the iron tread one? Was that the one that had the missing item?
Yeah, so that was actually the template. That's totally what happened. Like, I think it was the... When, you know, normally in a raid, the template, I guess, gives out the Pokemon material that you would use for TMs. But because the Paradox Pokemon don't have any material that you drop, so, you know, like Sunken Seed or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you beat a Sunken, you get that and you take it to the TM people and you give them that and then you make a TM from it magically. Really annoying part of the game, in my opinion. I really hope they do away that going forward because getting TMs when you're trying to build teams is so frustrating.
Yeah.
But that aside, what happened in that raid event was, they probably taken the template that they used the whole time and just dumped the Paradox Pokemon in there, not thinking that material would cause any issues, but because that material never pulled through because it doesn't exist in the game, that caused the game to crash, and that's why we had all these issues. So I'm guessing the time where that went down and everything went a bit like radio silent was them creating a new template to use. So
yeah. We'll see.
You could see,
like I said, it does feel like the lack of support is... I had this thought a moment when we were talking about the game next year of would it, and this feels like a stupid thought, but I don't think it's going to happen, but would they not release the new games on the new Switch? And it would just be so fucking stupid if they didn't, so I can't see it not happening.
Oh, don't say that. Release it on the old console and just skip.
I think I would be tempted. I would be so tempted to skip it at that point.
Oh.
I mean, technically... They could
do it. I can see them doing something like that.
And it run better. Like, they know. If the new Switch is coming out, like, they're not fucking stupid. Like if they're going to release any game before the release, like, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I'm fucking hoping that they don't do that. No, they could do it because technically the new console is backwards compatible, but based on the shit that's happened, right, and, you know, based on what we said about them being not fixing the issues, you hope to think that in their mind, they're like, we need to make this Pokemon game look good. So, obviously, to do that, it's going to be on the new console. So, for them to ignore that, like, if we get another type... Don't get me wrong. I know we said this a lot. These graphics have never bothered me about Scarlet and Violet. But if we get the same problems that we have with whatever this... Gen 5 game iteration is that we have a Scarlet and Violet, I'm going to be pissed off, okay? And I think it would really damage their reputation. Like, people would still buy it, but I don't think they can go through that back-to-back, especially if it's coinciding near or at the same time as the release date of their new console.
Yeah, I think there's more. I think you're completely right. There's so much more implication on them nailing this time around than there ever has been before. I think they've been able to kind of like bypass performance, bypass graphical appearance and stuff like that up to now. But I think there's been so many issues with Scarlet and Violet that have to be addressed in this next game to make sure that this is actually... Yeah, this is good, and this performs as it should do, and this is doing everything that, like, we wanted to. Nintendo have signed it off, and we are, you know, keeping to that high standard that normally Nintendo games actually have. You know, like, Mario never has issues. Zelda, obviously, we spoke about, has a lot of time development, so that never has issues. But Pokemon has a long way to go to kind of...
We would get, on Pokemon Day, you would hope... If we get the announcement on Pokemon Day next year that it's coming, you would hope we would get confirmation on whether it would be on the new console or not. You would hope then,
if they've announced the new console.
Or at least if we get any kind of teaser, we should be able to get an idea on whether it will be on the new console. Like I said, whether it will be on the Switch or what on the new console. But
I guess that'll dictate, really, you know, like that'll play a big part. If Nintendo haven't revealed a new console yet, I wonder if that like then delays Pokemon from announcing their new title if the console for it hasn't been announced yet. Or do you think it wouldn't really matter?
No, I think they're not stupid. I think most people have realized now that they are doing, you know, they have started or have at least almost finished the new console. You'd like to think they're just at this point refining and or starting to mass produce it in ready for next year, right? Because it must take a while to mass produce enough, especially for a brand new console release. I don't know how many they would have ready shipped around the world, but you know, you must think that they would announce it soon, maybe after Christmas, or maybe to coincide with Pokemon Day. It would make a lot of sense. I would think at some point between Pokemon Day and like between January and Pokemon Day, I think we'd get the announcement. We could get it beforehand, but I can't see it being after Pokemon Day. I think it would be strange for them not to, because, you know, I don't know how early we got teasers for the Switch. Like, when was the Switch first teased? Let's have a quick Google.
I'm just actually doing that right now. I'm just trying to see, like, times of the year that they normally do a Direct. It's normally, you know, June, September, or normal times.
So it was teased
March.
A year before, in spring 2016.
Wow.
The official announcement followed in October of the same year. So
they'd almost have to announce it in November, like a month's time, really.
So that would make sense. They tease it in November or December and then announce it in February or something.
Yeah. The Nintendo need to have an announcement really in November for that to, on the same timeline, of course.
Yeah.
Be like, this is coming. Yeah. Get ready,
because it was officially announced in October 2016 officially, and it come out in like the beginning of March, right? So realistically, you know, that's 4 months. So 4 months between them officially announcing it and it coming out.
Wow. So when was it teased then, the console? Was it in November?
No, it was teased. So the Switch come out at the beginning of March 2017, right? The 3rd of March 2017, it was originally teased in spring of 2016. So if it's coming out in November next year, which would make a lot of sense before Christmas, or beginning of December, you know, if we're following the same timeline, it would make sense for the teaser to be then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you get, you know, maybe they won't announce it till after, till March or something, but who knows? You know, they could... You know, it could if you include, I don't know when in October it was announced, but if you include the 1st of October, then it'd be 5 months. So if you go back 5 months, you've got October, September, August, July, June. So you'd have to announce it in June then if they're following that same schedule. But, you know, I don't know at this point. Nintendo love to throw curveballs at us. So, you know, if we're getting more and more leaks about it, you know, you'd like to think that they would announce it or at least tease it at some point and then the announcement, because I'm sure they, even if they announce it with like a large gap, they can still strum up hype
in
a period of time, you know. So it's they're never going to struggle with strumming up hype for stuff. So again, we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully by the end of the year we will know what's going on, but again, maybe we'll have to wait till next year. Who knows
indeed. But yes, it's like we've said the past few podcasts, all very exciting. Just need to be patient. But like you say, I think all the sounds that are coming out at the minute, like the more that we get leaked information or teased or rumors, it just indicates. And I'm pretty sure now we know that the dev kits and stuff have been sent out.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
So it's like, it's there. We just need to have the announcement really from Nintendo for when that will be. But I'm really interested to see if they're going to, you know, we've talked about it, touched about it. If they're going to, like, if it is going to be backwards compatible, are the new cartridges going to have just like a little edge on them? You know, like the 3DS and the DS cartridges
make
are just slightly different.
Make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, it's very exciting. But get your pennies saved, all because you're going to need to keep them. I wonder what the price point will be as well.
Yeah. That has been one of the biggest things, right? You know, to keep the price down because, you know, it depends if they can justify it. I could see a price bump of like $50 to $100 being, you know.
The Switch hasn't really dropped at all. It hasn't shifted much from its release to
That's
now
what I mean.
Even, you know.
You know, so. If it's a good console, you know, I mean, well, again, the closer we get to it, the more we'd know. I probably won't, something like that, it depends whether I pre-order it, but before I pre-order it, I want to know what's going on. Like, how powerful is it going to be? Because that's going to be, again, they must know this, right? The biggest thing that people are going to care about is how powerful the console is, right? Because it's the first time we're going to get a hardware improvement. People aren't really going to care about anything else.
No.
It's how much better will the games run?
Yeah.
You know, will it have, you know, because there were reports that it might run on an NVIDIA chip, in which case it could have the same, like, the architecture built into it that allows you to do a DLSS upscaling, which would make, you know, upscaling onto like a 4K TV a lot better, you know, without actually having to make it as powerful. Even if it would be powerful, you know, a mobile chip would still could struggle to drive a 4K TV, you know. So
yeah,
we'll have to wait and see.
I'm sure whatever it is going to end up being, it's going to be very good, and it'll be, yeah. I'm hoping as well that we'll be able to just, like, you know, from our current Switch, I hope that they can have it almost like a, not a transfer over, but a way for us to import everything that we've got on our Switch console right now onto the new one. So we can have a way, if it is backwards compatible, so we can keep, like, back catalogs of stuff, save data that we've got on there and things like that. And yeah, the big thing for me, the biggest thing for me is a cloud system.
I think it's the same for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think going forward that would make so.
It would make a lot of sense, especially if they're transferring stuff over or allowing you to transfer stuff over, to have, if a cloud system wasn't in place, because it would mean that that'd be so easy, right? You can back up your entire Switch to the cloud. Okay. So, how do you set up your new Switch? Oh, you just back it up and then you just download everything again.
Yeah.
Or you just click install and it installs exactly the same way it has, which means it would save all the save states.
That'd be perfect, wouldn't it? It would be perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But I can still Nintendo fucking up. But, you know, potentially it will sell like hotcakes, whatever it does. But, you know, if they just do the things that, you know, if they take into account all of the feedback that they've had from the Switch, you know, if they really want to compete with consoles nowadays and the handheld market, this has got to be good. You know, they smashed it out in the park. They always smash it out the park. Okay, the Wii U was a bit of a struggle, but I don't think this is whatever iteration. I don't think it's going to be another Wii U, because I think the biggest thing, like I said, it's just the quality of life improvements that people care about more than anything else. And if they can nail those, I think it will be insanely popular.
You know,
more so than the Switch, possibly. So.
Yeah, I don't see it being another Wii U. No. One of the only Nintendo consoles I never owned.
Yeah, I didn't have a Wii U either. I had a Wii.
Yeah. I was never interested in getting a Wii U. I was just like,
almost bought one, but I was like, well, it's just a Wii, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it was very close, but and I even played on one at a friend's, and I wasn't that made up with it. I was like, nah, there's no mad justification to go out and buy this. I'll wait. I was deep in 3DS country at that time, so I was like way more preoccupied with that than I was really the Wii. Great console, the base console, but yeah, I don't think we need to worry about that, though, do we?
No.
Too much? No.
On the topic of Wiis, I do need a Wii, so I would like to wrap this up a little bit.
What a great tangent.
Yeah. I know. I've got two things to show you before I need to go, because I am on the brink of really needing the loo. This video I'm about to show you probably doesn't help my case, because it's just going to make me want to go to the toilet anymore. Just some cool stuff that I found. It's got water in it. So this kind of come up on the screen earlier, but this was this like
coming out of
oh my god, that's so loud. This was a pump. This was a pump for a swimming pool. I just thought it was really sick. a squirrel.
Yeah, but that like
tube goes up his ass. Is... Yeah, it goes up his bum.
Pretty much. Yeah. So very cool though, isn't it?
It looks really pretty. Very cool. But you know, just a little stylistic adjustment. I'm sure. I don't know if you can buy it, but you know, it's a nice little mod if you're a big Pokemon fan. And then there are these really weird Eevee big collaborations.
And you have a pull.
Oh my god! Why is everything so loud? Koji, I don't know if you've heard of Koji. I don't know if they're like module makers or something, but these were shown in LA. These are like really trippy evolution figures, but to each their own. I think they are really cool. I think they're too cat-like in order for me to want one, but they are this one's really cute. The standard Eevee one's really cute, but
I swear, if Eevee looked like Vaporeon's all right, they're way too cat-looking for me. Like in my opinion, I think. That's probably what they would look like in real life, right?
Yeah.
Imagine those things coming after you.
Fuck me, that would be scary, man.
The Jolteon, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Nah, I'm a bounce.
Where's my Gliscor? I need to be chucking around some earthquakes right now. Get rid of these things. Get rid of the cats. Cat problem. Need a big... What's a ground dog type? Have we got a ground dog type? I don't think we have we? I guess Ursaluna is kind of the closest thing that we've got.
No,
there though. Unless I mean, that would do the job.
The Paradox Entei form will become a ground type, but we'll have to see.
Essentially, yeah. Well, I'd love to actually see what the legendary dogs would look like, mate. I know you're desperate, so we'll cut that off. That was very nice. Very nice little videos there. We've covered a lot this week. We're not feeling the best. We hope that you've enjoyed.
We've done okay. We've survived. We've endured.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll be feeling a lot better next week. You know. And let us know if you guys are still playing the Teal Mask, what you're shiny hunting, you know, and I guess we'll see you guys. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave us a review. I know we say it at the end of every episode. We do love you if you've made this far. So if you have made it this far and you haven't left us a review, you know, what are you doing? Just leave us a review, leave a like on YouTube, share it with your friends. And as always, we love a bit of feedback. So anything you recommend, we will try and do. But yes,
I'm just gonna chuck in as well, the Toon Army had a good result last night.
They did have a good result last night, I noticed. So yes, very good,
beating Man City, the best in the world.
Palace did not, but we don't talk about that.
We'll get revenge for you because we drew Man United at home at Old Trafford in the next round. Like, what's that about? We've just had Man City, literally best team in the world, and then the next round I'm like, come on, just give us like Millwall or like Peterborough, someone. Yeah. Man United, we have to conquer Man United.
So we're going to batter them on the weekend anyway, because we got them in Old Trafford again this weekend.
Oh yeah,
The Prem. So that's the one that people care about. Don't care about the crappy Carabao Cup. So no one cares about the Carabao Cup until they're in the final. Let's be honest, the managers don't care. It's just a bit of fun to keep other players happy. But
Eddie cares.
But that's what
Geordie's care. We're going to be back in that final this season. And we're going to knock out all the hard teams on the way. So when we get there, we'll have an easy
just
final.
Just smash like Portsmouth 10-0 in the final.
That'd be a good day out, wouldn't it?
Anyway,
we're not a football podcast. We're a Pokeballs podcast. So that is enough. I just had to add it in there. It was just very, very nice.
Flex. That's
just, well, it's not a flex. It's just, you know, say these things when we don't often beat Man City.
That's true. That's true. Best team in the world at the moment. So.
Yeah. Anyway, best manager as well. I have so much time for Pep Guardiola.
I love Pep. He's so good. Anyway.
Just classy, isn't he? Classy.
We'll see you guys in next week's episode.
Well, let's go for a bathroom break. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Thank you, friends. Have a good one. Bye-bye.